There's a lot of places you can hear a lot of things. How many of you guys listen to a lot of things in a week? Like, there's a lot of noise in our world. You go anywhere and there's noise. If it's actually silent, you probably are like, wait, what's happening? Because the noise in the world is a lot. And so sometimes it's super easy to just hear and not actually take hold of something. And I'm encouraging your spirit and encouraging your heart right now that you would prepare yourself to hear the word from the Lord. That it wouldn't fall on a deaf ear. That your heart wouldn't be hardened, that it just tumbles off and falls to the ground. It's rich. It refines us. Might there be a refining like fire? It says the word of the Lord is like a hammer. How many of you need a little bit of hammer in your heart just to chisel some of the hardness away? Sometimes our hearts get so hard. So why don't you put your hand on your heart? In reality, you can sit here and receive nothing. But I'm declaring that there would be a harvest of fruit on the word of the Lord today that goes beyond your expectation. That would be life-changing. So God, we ask that you would move in our hearts. God, we open the door of our hearts. We give you access to every aspect of our hearts and our minds, our understanding, our will. God, we give you our wills. We give you our wisdom. And we ask, God, that you would move through your word that would bring fresh revelation, that would make things that have been dead in us come alive, that you would refine us like fire through your word. We don't ask that timidly. We ask that with boldness because you're a good Father. And we know that you got good things for us and you take us from glory to glory. So we're asking that as the word is released, it would take us from glory to glory this morning. Thank you for the anointing on Pastor Ruth. I just ask, God, that you would do such a work that would bring us such a harvest in this body and through each of these people in this room in the name of Jesus. And everybody said.
So this morning, the message has a challenge for you. Are you ready? Because it's for the year to come. It's a challenge for you for the year to come. And my goodness, you have 3 or 4 days to prepare yourself so you can just go gung-ho, right? So a few weeks ago, I was reading a devotional. And in the reading, a phrase jumped into my heart. And it was this phrase, "Trust is my worship." And it just began to reverberate in my spirit, man. And thoughts began to fly here and there. And I was just like, oh my goodness, you're wanting me to preach this, Lord. And so I began to work on it, not knowing when I was going to preach it. But I understood that today is the day for this word for you. So I just asked, Lord, that you would just speak what you spoke to me to them, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Did you know you were created to worship? I want to help you, remind you. So I'll put this sign up here for you. Because you were made to worship. It's actually a part of your DNA. When God created you, when he put you together in your mother's womb, within you was the DNA to be a person of worship. You're to bring glory through your expression. You see, your expression is unique to you, and so how you express yourself to God is different than me. And he loves that. And he loves your worship. Worship is an expression of love and adoration to him. And maybe you've stuffed it down a long ways down and you've said, well, that's just not me. I'm not a worshiper. It's not me. I'm telling you this morning, that's not true. You are a worshiper. You were born to worship. And so I want you to look at this verse in 1 Peter 2:9. It says this. You. Say you. No, say me. I should have said say I. I am, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim. See? You may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And just so we're on the same page, I want to define worship for you. Worship is the expression of reverence and adoration of someone. That's what worship is. And did you know that the Bible has a whole lot to say about worship? Look at with a few of them with me. Psalm 95, verse 6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Or how about this one in Psalm 99, 5, it says, "Exalt the Lord your God," or our God, "and worship at his footstool. He is holy." We sang he's holy this morning, didn't we? And then it's interesting, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is confronting the enemy, and he says this, it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And later in John, Jesus is talking, and he declares, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You see, as people, sometimes we think singing, la, 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 that's worship. And it is. Or sometimes we make bold declarations. The Lord is my rock and my redeemer. He's the one that saved me. He set my feet on a firm foundation. We say that, and we say that is worship. And it is. Those are declarations of worship. But worship actually involves all of you and all of your life. It's a lifestyle in a way to please God, the one that you love and serve. And this morning, I want you to consider a different style of worship. If I were to ask you, do you trust the Lord? Most of you would say, I do. I trust the Lord. Right? Okay, do you trust the Lord? Okay. What about when your car gets hit in the parking lot when you're out shopping? Make trust of your Savior, your daily worship. Make trust. I want you to consider that thought. Trust is your worship. How you perceive him, how you think he will work in your life, how you think he will handle things that you're handling. Trust is worship. And trust, just so you were on the same page again, is a firm belief in the reliability. Is he reliable? In his ability. Does he have ability? In his strength. Yes, he's strong and mighty. It says in the scripture he has a mighty right arm. Yeah. It's trust is believing about him. Believing that he can handle that. So I ask, do you actually live with trust? Do you? You see, trust is his reliability, his truth, his ability, and his strength. And it's easy to say that you trust him, but what happens in the midst of struggles? Or how about this? When God speaks something to you and you wait, and then you wait, and then you wait, and you wait, and you wait some more, and then you wait some more. What about that in those places? Is trust your worship? You see, trust actually needs to be a foundation stone in your life. Maybe you're thinking, well, if it's so important, how do I increase my trust? So I want you to check out this verse, and it's in the New King James Version that I have it up there. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And then it says, and feed. Feed on his faithfulness. That's a command. So for instance, just want to give you an idea here. There's lots we can do to feed our body, right? You can eat those protein shakes. They're disgusting, but you can do it. You can eat healthy things, or you can eat all the junk food that happened across the table at Christmas time that does nothing except for satisfy the craving of your tongue, right? There's different ways of feeding yourself, correct? Well, in the spirit man, there's a feeding of your spirit man. Actually causing your spirit man to grow, to accelerate, to become beyond what you are right now. You see, you never should sit still. You need to always be moving. And you should always be increasing in your understanding of what? Of who he is. You see, there's no end to knowing who he is. None whatsoever. There's always more to know about him. And you should know what he can do. And you should know how he works. And how do you do that? How do you gain an information like that? It's called feeding on his faithfulness. You see, you pick up the Word of God and you open it up and you begin to look at the stories in the Word of God. You begin to look at the scriptures and you begin to go, oh my goodness. He delivered them by doing that? He knocked a wall down? Well, if he can walk a wall down around a city and save a people, what could he do for me? How could he save me? You know what I'm saying? You get into the Word. I'm not talking about just reading it. I'm talking about learning about him, learning about who he is. You see, his very nature of who he is, you need to understand. When you understand his nature, it gives you the ability to believe him, to trust him with your whole life, with whatever comes your way. And when you do that, when you walk in trust in every area of your life, and you say, this isn't going to affect me at all, then you know right then and there, your trust is your worship. Trust is worship. It shows him that, hey, God, I believe that you're working in my life. It doesn't matter because I know that you've got this. So you can look into the Word, and there's hundreds of places you can see about his provision. And you go, oh, that's who he is. That he worked this way, this, and over here he did this and this. And you begin to say, oh, if God can do that for them, he can do that for me, right? And every part of who he is begins to be revealed to you as you search the scriptures and you study them and you begin to see who he is. As you meditate on the stories of people and their interaction with God, it makes you believe that he'll interact with you, and he will. He's interested in you. He's interested in talking to you. He's interested in what you're interested in, and he's interested in your heart. And he wants you to feed on his faithfulness. And when you do that, what arises is trust. And when you begin to trust God, this is what happens. It begins to raise, you think, oh, God might do this. Oh, wow. Oh, maybe he will work in this area. It's very possible. And because worship begins with the revelation of God. You see, when you see him for who he is, if you read in the book of Revelation, you see that there's angels in the throne room, and they continuously go, holy, holy, holy. Church, they're not up there with a computer inside with rote, holy, 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 holy. No, there's something they're seeing and they're going, oh, holy, holy, holy. And they turn and look this way. Oh, holy, 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 holy. Oh, you're so holy. There's revelation. And as you begin to be revealed who God actually is, there comes within you in a stirring and a hunger and a longing, and it builds that understanding of God, and he develops within you trust of him. You see, it's really easy to feed on what the devil's doing in your life. Ever listen to conversations? We quickly rehearse all the ways he's moving and all the stuff he's doing on the earth and in our nation and in our schools, and we hear all of that. But the Bible doesn't command us to keep a testimony of what the enemy does. There's no place that says that. But we are commanded to rehearse, to keep, and to share the testimonies of God's wonderful work on the earth. You are actually commanded to rehearse his testimonies. You see, you're supposed to give them to one another that they could be encouraged and they could walk in the ways of God. Another way you can do that is by studying the very names of God, because every name reveals some aspect of God that he wants you to understand about who he is. Have you spent time studying his names? How about his character? Do you know a list of things he will do and things he will not do? Do you understand that? Every one of those things cements within us an understanding of God that allows our very foundation of trust to be solid and firm, and we are unmovable. Trust is based on the belief that God is good, that he's loving, and he's actually in control. Do you believe that? That he's in control, that he loves you. I brought another shirt, thanks to my grandchildren. I want you to see this before your face this morning, the thought that trust is worship. I want you to look at Psalm 40 with me, verse 4 and 5. It says this: blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. You want to be blessed? Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And then it says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. And your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. That's him thinking about you. That's how many thoughts he has that can't be counted. It says, if I would declare and speak them, they're more than can be numbered. And his thoughts are that towards you. So when we're talking about making trust our worship, there's several things you need to understand. You daily have to choose to put on trust. You daily have to walk in trust. Say, I choose to trust you, O Lord. I choose to trust you no matter what. I'm talking about relying on God rather than your own abilities. It's only him. He's able. We're not. The Bible actually says in our weaknesses, his strength shines. So when you're feeling weak, be happy, because his strength is going to shine out of you. Trust him to move in you when you have nothing. When you've been up all night, trust that he can move through you, because he can. And to choose to trust, to live kingdom-minded and be obedient to him, they all become acts of worship. And your radical dependence upon God is the highest form of honor and praise you can give him, for you to depend upon him. You think, oh, he wants me to read the Bible, and he wants me to do this and this and this, but I'm telling you, the highest form of praise you can give him is to be dependent upon him. And then here's the verse that goes with the sweatshirt or the shirt, Proverbs 3:5. You probably know it by heart. says trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say trust in the Lord with your mind. And it doesn't say trust in the Lord with just a small part of your life. It says trust in the Lord with all of your heart. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And look what it says. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. See, he was a religious leader who was honored as one who knew and understood the things of God. People say that they think he was old, but it isn't necessarily true. He was also was respected as one who operated as a prophet. He gave prophetic words. And he was known well, and he was a respected theologian in Jerusalem. And people understood that he had the ability to discern the times and to supernaturally prophesy by the Holy Spirit. And he was waiting for the Messiah. In fact, he had been promised that he, Simeon, would see the Messiah with his own eyes. And so that word in Luke 2:25, almost the first word up there, is the word behold, okay? And we don't really say behold much today. And so maybe an understanding of what is being said to us in that moment. See, that behold, it describes shock, amazement, and wonder. And Luke, while recalling this event, is still in awe and wonder at what happened that day in the temple. Then Luke begins to tell us the shocking events that occurred. And that word consolation, that describes encouragements and support. And Simeon had a prophetic expectation that at any moment, he lived his life, all of his days, with that thought. When is he coming? He's coming. He told me he was coming. He actually told me I would see him before I died. And he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's trusting that the Lord will do what he said he would do. And so he waits with expectation. And we as believers need to wait with expectation at what God wants to do in our lives, because there are things he wants to do in your life that are beyond your ability to comprehend. And so if you look at verse 26, it says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And that word revealed and the word by are two important words. I just thought they were simple words, revealed and by. Revealed shows us that Simeon had a relationship with the Holy Spirit and that he regularly interacted with him, and that the Holy Spirit had divinely communicated with him that he would see the Messiah. And all of Israel had been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah. And here he is waiting, and no one else saw him, and he's waiting. And he has to trust that which the Lord had said to him he would do, because he knew the character of God, and he understand the nature of God, and he knew that what God said he would do, he would do. And so he is a picture of worship, trust being worship. And he waited with expectation. And then that word by, it actually means under the direction or under the guidance or under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so you see, by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit had told him what to do. So in verse 27, it says, came by the Spirit into the temple. He didn't just happen to be there, and in walks Mary and Joseph. He went there by the power of the Holy Spirit telling him to go. And he came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child, our Savior, Jesus, to him, according to the custom of the law. And it says, so he came by the Spirit. And this by is a different meaning than the one in the Greek, the word by before this. It actually means under the control of the Spirit. In other words, he came under the unction or the prompting or the Holy Spirit stirring him to move. And so he goes to the temple. And then he takes this child that just comes into the temple that day. This is a baby that's like 5-6 weeks old, and he picks up this baby. He's been waiting for someone to save Israel from the enemy, and he's waiting for the promised Messiah, and he picks up a baby, and he looks into the eyes of that little one, and he says, it says in verse 28, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he says, Lord, verse 29, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for the face of all people. And look at this promise to us, the next verse. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. We're promised that light and revelation will come to us. By him, his prophetic word, as he held Jesus in his arms. And it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which he'd spoken to them. And that marveled means to be like almost like at a loss of words, shock, amazement, bewilderment. Mary and Joseph were stunned at this prophetic word that this man spoke over their child. They were like, what is happening for him to speak such remarkable things? And then in verse 34, it says he blessed them. And then he speaks something to Mary. He said, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Can you imagine going in, just doing by the law, I need to take my child there because he's the firstborn, and present him and give us an offering before the Lord on his behalf. He's dedicating him to the Lord. And he comes, they bring him in, and this man says this stuff over your child. And standing in the temple that day is another character of Christmas. Her name is Anna. And she's found just the verses following that. And she was a prophetess, and she was from the tribe of Asher. And it says she was of a great age, and that she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And then she had been a widow for 84 years. So do the math. How old do you think she was? Maybe 100? Maybe 103? If she got married when she was 12, she'd be 103. And then look what it says. She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer day and night. It shows her devotion. She wanted to be there when the Messiah walked into that room. She did not want to miss it, so she found herself there day and night with fasting and prayer. All those years, waiting, waiting, waiting. We think we wait a year and it's a long time. She's waiting to see the Messiah. And it says in verse 38, because to me, her whole trust thing, that takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it? It says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and she spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Both of them, both Simeon and Anna, were pictures of us, of pictures for us, of making trust our worship and allowing our belief to stand strong no matter what's going on around us, what's happening in our life, that we will believe what God says. Both of them welcomed the child Jesus as the Messiah without hesitation. Did you see that? They didn't go, well, is he? I think he might be. Well, is he or isn't he? They saw him, and because of the Holy Spirit upon them, they knew this was the child. And they proclaimed everywhere they went about him. Both believed that God told them and stood in the faithfulness of God. I kind of think they were fat on the faithfulness of God. I think we need to get fat on the faithfulness of God. So filled with the faithfulness of God that we don't hesitate 1 minute, that we wait where we're waiting. We look for that which he said. stand on the promises of God on behalf of our children. We believe for healing for people because the word says he's the healer. We stand and we believe and we trust. We make our worship to him. Here I am, Father, this morning. I'm trusting you with everything within me. I'm going to believe that you will take and do what you said you would do. Even the word this morning, church, the word for our body, that he's doing something. He's doing something powerful in our mix. Are you trusting that what he said he's going to do, or are you going, that's a nice word, see you tomorrow? You see what I said? We need to make trust our worship. We need to so believe God that the worship comes out of our heart to him and pleases him. So we need to ask the Lord to release on us a Simeon anointing. Let our hearts be settled on trusting to know him and walk in perfect trust. Because they walked in perfect trust, they didn't miss the Savior. And they experienced favor because of the trust. I believe that favor comes when we trust him. Great favor. So make 2026 about knowing him so well that you worship him through your complete and utter trust of him.